Hello, this is Climate and Community, Maine Voices for Action, with a Climate to Thrive. This five-minute weekly program will illuminate stories of climate courage, solutions, and resilience-building action with a focus on communities leading the way right here in coastal Maine. I'm your host, Brianna Cunliffe. As an Island Institute Fellow, I serve as a Climate to Thrive's Community Engagement Coordinator. Let's dive in.
I'm Emily Shanahan. I'm the program coordinator at the Bar Harbor Food Pantry.
She first came to food security work through sustainability, after pursuits on a college campus led her to start a community garden.
The wheels turn between connection with one another, connection with food, connection with the planet, and how are we honoring all of those things, as well as ensuring everyone has what they need. Starting conversations about what do our food choices have to do in the climate space? If we're talking about plant-based or overproduction in the food system, what are we doing in CAFOs and industrial agriculture? And then bringing that down to the person-to-person scale of, like, do you have enough food? How is your food system serving you, and vice versa? I see the food stories really bringing folks together. And then more tangibly, there's the food waste we see in our system. Like 30% of the food we produce in the United States is thrown away. And at the end of the shelf life of something, it ends up at the food pantry, and then it's on us to figure out how to deal with that ecologically. And that's really hard when you're already at capacity just trying to feed people and everything's more expensive. People are getting squeezed tighter and tighter. Demand just keeps going up. But we've been working with a local pig farmer to send what we can't use there as much as we can. It's something I always find value in doing. So I do try to make the effort to always make our waste stream make sense. And then sourcing, so much comes from TFAP, the Emergency Food Assistance Program through the USDA, which we can get a subsidized rate. We can use that food to feed our neighbors, but it is all industrial agriculture. It would be amazing if we could support our neighbors with local products. And we're able to do that a lot through the Down East Cleaning Initiative. We have this resource in the summer that's amazing. I'm so thankful for it. But we're just a piece of a much broader system that needs a lot of work.
I asked Emily to envision how the food pantry might operate in a world where resources were allocated differently.
If we had all the resources in the world, the food pantry wouldn't even be here. In an ideal world, I would not have a job. And that is the world I'm working towards. And it is so hard to separate out of, like, even if we could just do this on a small scale, Hancock County or just Mount Desert Island even, we are so connected so broadly. Our dry beans we have in the pantry, I think, came from North Dakota. I've heard the term cosmo-local of honoring and really looking to your local community and your local human capital or resources or skills or specific knowledge that is there, but not closing yourself off to the connections from further away and finding a good balance between those things.
Our food choices can be a powerful way to take action on climate and invest in the kind of systems that we want to see. However, we run into some pitfalls when we try to individualize responsibility.
It's such a double-edged sword, food is, because it's so intimate and powerful, and it's a part of our everyday lives. It can be used as a tool or a weapon in so many ways. And shame comes up in the climate conversation so much, as well as in talking about food with people. So the really hard part of judging people's food / climate choices, you know, if you're plant-based or not, if you're buying local or not, if you're buying things in plastic packaging or not. And it becomes so easy, because we're all so passionate about these things, to want to tell people what to do with their food choices. And in my mind, the bigger picture is connection and sharing food with your neighbors, connecting those dots. It feels very direct, and food's so personal. It's a vehicle to have those conversations, to build resiliency in a community and build connections. So it all goes together in my mind. They're all pieces of the same big puzzle.
Next week, I'll share another portion of our conversation where Emily and I talk about how folks can get involved at the intersection between food and climate. This has been Climate and Community with a Climate to Thrive on WERU-FM. We're here every Thursday morning at 8:30. Thanks for listening.